It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome back to the table, and this is our Bible study segment. So what I'd like you to do, if you have your Bible there, is open it up to Mark chapter 6. We're going to start in 14, and this is the story where King Herod is going to actually kill John the Baptist, and Connie Stampfel is here, our Bible study teacher. Connie, this one is a little bit dark, and I have to say, but it's going to be rich and powerful as well. We're going to see a little reflection of the world today, I think.
Yes, we are. We're going to see in Herod and his response to John the Baptist, and interestingly, his response to Jesus also, just that violent oppression of not desiring God's way. But God's word is good, and we are going to learn something of the ways of the world, but also more about our God by diving into this. So we are going to start here in Mark chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 29, which is this segment about King Herod. And interestingly enough, yesterday we just ended up a little... an account of Jesus' disciples going out and doing ministry as he instructed them to do. And then at the end, tomorrow actually, we're going to come back and we're going to hear the results of that ministry assignment. And so Mark does something interesting in his writing, where he does these little sandwiches where he puts something in between two ends of bread, of a sense. So right now, because of the fame of what is happening with Jesus, and even the accounts of what his disciples are doing is becoming known, it makes Herod think about something. And so we're going to hear what Herod's thinking, and then we're going to take a little history. We're going to go back in time a little bit and hear an account of what Herod had done. So verse 14, it says, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some had said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers at work in him. But others said he is Elijah. And others said he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. And then it says, for John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. I'm going to talk about this section, and then I'll give the details of what happened to John the Baptist. So because of Jesus' fame, with the miracles and what his disciples are doing, some amazing things are happening, and King Herod, actually he's not a king, he's a tetrarch, he's a Roman administrator, hears of it, and it makes him remember John the Baptist. And it seems like he had a fascination with John the Baptist. He liked to hear him. He could hear truth in what he said, but he also was conflicted because he couldn't respond appropriately to his message. He had imprisoned him, and the reason he had imprisoned John the Baptist is because John had spoken out about his immoral marriage. And I'll give you a little history lesson. Remember, Herod the Great was the ruler of Judea in the area when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then he's the one who had all the young babies, the young men killed. In that area, because he feared this king of the Jews that had been born. Herod the Great was the father, and what a messed up family. Herod the Great had five wives, and whenever he kind of didn't like a wife, he got rid of her, or she died, or something crazy happened. And then he had seven sons, and similar things happened with sons, too. They disappeared or drowned in the pool or whatever, and so he didn't like a son, he kind of got rid of them, but he had seven sons, and we're going to find out that this Herod Antipas, was one of Herod's sons. Because Herod had five different wives, most of the sons had a different mother, and so there were lots of half-siblings. The Philip that's mentioned here is Herod Antipas's half-brother. And then we find out that there's this woman named Herodias who had been married to Philip, and then she left him and then married or took up with Herod Antipas. And scripture clearly says that a man should not marry his brother's wife. And that's what has happened here. And that's what John the Baptist was speaking against. Interestingly enough, Herodias, this woman, was also a granddaughter of Herod the Great. And so she's married both of her uncles. So talk about weird and strange. It's a mixed up family. And it's going to get worse after this. But what we find, again, is that Herod Antipas has some type of a feeling, kind of an ambivalence about how he liked John the Baptist. He liked to hear him. It says after he put him in prison, he said, for he feared him, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. And then he says, when he heard him, when Herod heard John the Baptist speak, and he sounds like he called him to him to hear him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. And so we're talking about a man in conflict who doesn't like the message he gives about you're in sin, you shouldn't have married your brother's wife, but yet he wants to hear him, and he's fascinated somehow with what he says and how he speaks truth. And then the rest of the story is going to show how, through sinful choices of his own and other people, John the Baptist is killed. But it really speaks to just the entanglement and trap that sin becomes in our lives when we allow that to happen. So the rest of the story goes in verse 21. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for all his nobles and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. And so it's his birthday, and it's a huge celebration bash. And what happens is all the civil officers, the military leaders, and then the leading social people of Galilee are all there. And verse 22 says, for when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the Greek, Greek. This is written in Greek. Greek is very specific. It tells us that it was a suggestive dance and wasn't something normal for the day, but she greatly pleased the men. And then it says, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give to you up to half my kingdom. That's kind of a grandiose statement because he actually didn't have a kingdom. He wasn't a king, but he was saying, I'll give you half of everything I have. And verse 24 says, and she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And the mother replied, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in and immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And so this young woman, whose name is Salome, and her mother Herodias, desire John the Baptist to be killed because he has spoken out against the mother's marriage. Verse 26, and says, and the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And so Herod felt boxed in. He chose to go about in sin. His sin led to another sin, but he, in pride and to save face, gave in to this wish. Verse 27 says, and immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring Herod's head, to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. And so here we have the world's way of dealing with what is good and righteous and of God. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the one who was the forerunner of Jesus. Jesus said of him, of all those among men, he's the greatest. And then Jesus also had said that of those who are born again into the kingdom of God, they're even greater than that. But really, he's saying of all men, that he was a very special man. We know that Jesus also said that John the Baptist was like Elijah, again, as that special prophet, and he was the forerunner of the Lord coming. Probably the one thing to gain from this passage is to understand it's really a clash between the kingdom of self and sin and Satan and God's kingdom. And this encounter, this historical event, something that happened to John the Baptist through human sinfulness, reveals that Satan is trying to destroy people and God's purposes. Throughout the rest of the Gospel of Mark, though, we're going to find out he does not win. The Lord Jesus does. But sometimes God allows death to be the means that he allows sin to be dealt with. Want to just leave us with Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Herod chose death. His family chose death. But in Jesus Christ, we can be saved of our sins.
Amen. Let's choose life this day. Connie, thank you so much. If you would like to go deeper, we've got some notes for you, a little bit of homework, and you can find that on our Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. It's real easy to just go and click and download, help yourself, and that'll be right there for as long as you need it, always, because once this Bible study is over, we're going to keep these in the archives so that you can go back and continue to learn from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.